Thank you, Cynthia. And I want to say a thank you to Julie Doherty. She's a local singer-songwriter. I commend you to her. I only knew about this song because Carlo went to hear her sing right across the street here and bought the CD. So when I first heard The Wall, I thought immediately of South Church. While it may seem an odd reaction to a conventional love song, however beautiful, the truth is that South Church is one of the loves of my life. Varied as our individual experiences here are, I doubt that anyone who has been here for even so short a time as a year would fail to appreciate the metaphor that struck me. Whether one thinks of our physical buildings or our ever-evolving community, there were some places where the mortar seemed to crack. So with sure and skillful hands, they were cemented back. Rough patches it has known. It's just a man-made wall of sand and stone. Still, it stands the test of time. How have we managed to find those sure and skillful hands? How have I managed to endure the cracks and become comfortable with the patches? How might each of us think about standing the test of time? The song is about how love is sustained. The wall suggests persistence, grounding, habit, and ultimately, faith. We UUs often refer to spiritual practices. I find that persistence turns out to have been the spiritual practice that has kept me here, perhaps especially in those times where the sure and skillful hands had yet to begin their work. At other times, I was here by habit. Sometimes I was here out of stubbornness. My father was a gentleman, yet stubborn as a mule. Some who know me reasonably well may recognize the trait. Many years after I had a family of my own and he was living in Florida, my dad still owned the multifamily house back in Michigan where I lived when I went to elementary and junior high school. He was renting the apartments out, relying on a long-distance manager who occupied one of the units. On one of his summer trips north, he mentioned that he had no insurance on the house and that my name was on it as co-owner. That led to one of the few out-and-out shouting matches we ever had. Get the insurance or take me off the deed, I said loudly. What do we need insurance for, he demanded. Just a waste of money. After some heated exchange, we left it at that. Nothing ever happened. I inherited the house as intended without going through probate, and I sold it as fast as I could. Risky as his decision was, coupled with the many other ways he lived, over time I absorbed from him this approach to life. Live each day as though everything is going to be all right. The house isn't going to burn down. The renter isn't going to fall on the cracked sidewalk and sue you. Assume that you can handle whatever life throws your way. I assure you, that does not mean that Carlo and I live without home insurance, an umbrella liability policy, life insurance, and auto insurance that includes breakdown service. And I know, more seriously, what life hands us will sometimes feel like more than we can handle. And in fact, sometimes it is. I have started with the story of stubbornness because it can be hard to tell the difference between stubbornness and persistence. My sense is that there is no solid line between the two. My thought is that one is likely to contribute to our personal sense of worth and dignity, while the other does not. For today, let's posit working definitions of each. Stubborn, clinging to a set of beliefs, a relationship, or course of action, even in the face of good reasons to let go. Persistence, relying on a set of beliefs, a relationship, or course of action, in spite of difficulty or opposition. clinging to, relying on. Purchasing no insurance on a long-distance rental home is just really stubborn. Enough said on that score. I invite you to take a moment, sometime later today, to consider times in your life when you have been stubborn and times when you have been persistent. Maybe some are popping into your head right now. How have these times worked out for you? How did you feel about the situations at the time? How do you feel about them now? Another suggestion to consider. I often think we know which we are being, stubborn or persistent, by the gut feelings we have at the time. When I am just being stubborn, I usually recognize it when I stop to consider and be honest with myself. It doesn't usually feel particularly good. When I am being persistent, there is a quality of conviction that offers fortitude and hope, and that usually does feel good despite opposition and adversity. This is an added paragraph after I heard from Joanne about the story. One quick example of persistence not giving away to stubbornness, brought to mind by Joanne's story. We have a bird feeder on a pole just outside our kitchen table. Sometimes Carlo and I get tired of buying seeds for the squirrels. Once I sprayed the pole with WD-40. The squirrel was persistent for a time, sliding back and forth and over and over. We were amused, but then he stopped, and he waited for another day. Good judgment on the squirrel's part. I believe the primary reason we are here at South Church is to explore, in community, life's major questions. Former President Barack Obama posed them succinctly in a recent interview. Who am I? What do I believe? What do I stand for? What gives meaning to my life? How do I explain my time here on earth? What's lasting and what's transitory? What matters? What doesn't? We don't answer these questions overnight or even permanently. We persist in the search. We work hard here at South Church at building lives that honor our worth and dignity, good lives, generous lives, lives with well-considered values at the core. 17 years ago, we walked along this wall. It follows the line of sea and tides that rise and fall. The way is mostly clear, but often rain and wind will interfere. This wall stands the test of time. This coming October, I will mark my 35th anniversary as a member of this congregation. Those years have been an exercise in persistence and stubbornness. It's the persistence that has paid the dividends. As I suspect with many of you, I came here reluctantly. I was done with religion. A child of a mixed marriage, life began as a Catholic, following my mother's begrudging promise that I would be reared in that faith. That lasted until about second grade. Sometime later, voluntarily, on my own, for reasons lost in the fog of time, I began attending a Southern Baptist church in my neighborhood. At 13, I answered the altar call, accepted Jesus as my Savior, and was baptized a second time. By the time I got to college, I was moving away from that faith and organized religion altogether. As a French major in college, I found my spiritual home in Albert Camus, The Myth of Sisyphus. The great irony of life, he explains, is that though we know it has no meaning, no particular purpose, we can live happily and fully, finding our worth and dignity in our own individual ways. Family, friends, work that gives us purpose, always pushing the rock up the hill, only to know that it will roll back and we will have to start over. Rough patches indeed, yet oddly satisfying for those of us who know the truth and live with it with open eyes. My rejection of any need for some kind of spiritual community lasted until Donna and I had two elementary school children. I agreed to look for a church for their sakes, and after some unfruitful experimenting, we landed here one October Sunday in 1984. On the level of the church as an institution, I was quickly engaged. I am, after all, a community-oriented person, drawing strength and meaning from relationships with others. Despite the plaques on the wall, the traditional Christian God was not here, which was all I needed to know. We were soon pledging more than we would have anticipated. I was chairing the equivalent of the annual budget campaign. I was glad to be here. Rough patches we have known. It's just a man-made wall of sand and stone. That's true of our church building and of South Church as an institution. Rough patches indeed. We have ups and downs here. For many years, finances were excruciatingly tight. The furnace was always about to die. We handled the aftermath of the tragic loss of Reverend Carnan very badly as a congregation. We have had both good and disappointing ministerial leadership over the years. Each time, our hands have cemented the cracks, sometimes skillfully, sometimes not so much, sometimes it took a long time. Even in those times when I was most discouraged, I persisted. This is my community. I value it because I know the world needs the kind of care this community has to offer. I love it because the persistence has been rewarded in so many ways. When my wife died, 500 people, including a contingent of voices from the heart, were here to celebrate her life and comfort me and my family. When Carlo and I found each other and I remarried here in this sanctuary, this community affirmed us, giving me the opportunity to continue a full, joyful life among people I had come to love. More importantly, however, over time, this community has led me to a spiritual growth that has given my life greater meaning and purpose. I came here spiritually stubborn and stuck. Sometimes hand in hand, sometimes in single file, and the time I ran ahead, then lost you for a while. But you stood firm and tall. I found you again beside the wall, and our love stood the test of time. Those times when I have been discouraged have been related to when I have run ahead or hung back, when I discounted the spiritual paths others were following, imagining afterworldly spirits or following prescribed spiritual paths of one sort or another. Still, it felt good, even necessary, to be here in a community I trusted. And as I persisted, those other paths began to have an impact. Persistence with the community led to my letting go of the stubbornness that was keeping me stuck spiritually. I came to recognize that I was missing things, the sense of awe, a recognition of mystery as examples. My resolve softened. I stepped back and found a community standing firm and tall, dedicated to principles that celebrated all sorts of spiritual paths. A community that encouraged me to open my mind, test new thoughts, explore possibilities I had rejected, listen to others without judgment, opening my heart to empathy, and learning how to act on it. And the stubbornness did slowly fall away, enabling me to leave behind the spiritual wilderness where I had been living. 17 years ago, we walked along this wall. It follows the line of lives and loves that rise and fall. The way is mostly clear, but often rain and wind will interfere. But we still stand the tests of time. We still stand the tests of time. A few short years ago, South Church celebrated its 300th anniversary as a distinct congregation. That is no small feat. It has taken the persistence of generations of people, our forebearers, to build this institution, literally and figuratively, to create the space we now occupy in the larger world. Now we are embarking on the next leg of the journey. We've weathered some rain and wind interference. Soon we'll have a new interim minister, and we will begin the exciting task of calling new settled ministry. I wish for us the very best qualities of persistence, relying on a rock-solid faith that who we are and what we have to offer merit our most strenuous efforts, whatever difficulty or opposition we may find ourselves facing. Before we go, I want to circle back to my dad. It would be wrong to leave stubbornness as the only expression of his character. He was a kind and generous man, a man of that generation who put their shoulders to the grindstone and did their parts, persistent in their devotion to family. In my father's case, the other quality his family felt repeatedly was generosity. We UUs consider generosity also as a spiritual practice. Every year, my dad sent us an anniversary check of $750, never more, never less. But especially in those early child-rearing years, that check helped us get away, sometimes patching cracks in the mortar of our marriage. It is a practice I have continued with my own sons, one way I keep my dad present in our lives. With thanks to Kimberly Green for referring me to a podcast of an interview with former President Obama, he also noted the central role of persistence. He said, "It turns out that if year after year, step by step, community by community, issue by issue, things get incrementally better, then in the course of a lifetime, things can get a lot better." Almost 34 years later, here at South Church, I can attest to that. Persistence as a spiritual practice helps us face opposition, discouragement, and adversity. Over the long haul, it leads us to enriched worth and dignity, better lives, better relationships, better societies. May we each find our own walls to walk along, return to, and be grounded by. May we be so blessed.